a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Once again, we welcome you to another week of KSL Outdoors Radio as we begin hour number two and the final one for another week. Pleasure to have you with us. Tim Hughes here. Stormy weekend, obviously, and that's going to mess up some people's outdoors plans. But it shouldn't change your idea of going fishing. Navi, as we were talking about just before the top of the hour, your favorite line and one I love is, the fish are already wet, so they don't care.
Well, here's another one. My son has a love affair with cutthroat. And whenever he posts one, I always say, cut me, Mick, which is the Rocky scene.
Yeah,
Mick, you know, had to cut old Rocky's eyes. So it's cut me, Mick, because, you know, we love cuts.
You were talking cutthroats in fish bites a minute ago, but that's what we're going to concentrate on for the next few minutes with Randy Oplinger, who is our sport fish coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources. And he's mapped out some areas here specifically for cutthroat fishing. Randy, good to catch up with you.
Yeah, it's nice to catch up with you guys, too.
Give us, real quick, what kind of a year we've had so far. What kind of reports are you getting?
You know, so far, I mean, it seems like a pretty typical year. I think as a whole, it seems like fishing, you know, really statewide is doing pretty well. You know, we had a pretty decent snowpack, at least early on in the winter, but then that kind of fell off a little bit because it dried out as it kind of got into March. But, you know, looking at our runoff and all that, it kind of looks like streams are still running, for the most part, a little bit high, but we definitely are hearing reports that they're coming down a little bit, so they're getting closer to being fishable kind of after that runoff season.
Yeah. Let's set the table for why we're talking cutthroats. Navi, you mentioned in Fish Bites a minute ago, this is kind of their time, isn't it? Navi, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I didn't know if you were asking him yet.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The cutthroats, they have the ability to go dormant during the winter. Not all of them do. And basically, 42 temp wakes them up, 45 in some regions. I mean, the Yellowstone wakes up at 40 degrees, but they just are, you know, spawning. They wake up ready to spawn, and they're very active in June. Late May, early June is the perfect time to go after cutthroats.
You agree with that, Randy, right?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with what he said. You know, as a matter of fact, if you kind of look at cutthroats and when they spawn, their tendency is they spawn right at the peak of the runoff or just right after the peak of the runoff. And, you know, they kind of come out of the winter and the first thing they do is spawn. And then, you know, they kind of come out of that. And as the water drops, they're getting really hungry. So they're ready to take flies and ready to, you know, be out there for anglers to catch.
You pick some spots depending on the different species here. So let's start with the Weber River.
Yeah, the Weber River. I mean, it's a great local spot to get out and get some cutthroat. You know, for those of you who are asked in the cutthroat slam, which I certainly encourage people to roll in and participate in, that one counts actually for both the Bear River and the Bonneville cutthroat. And it's a nice, just large stream. There's plenty of walk-in access areas for people to get on the stream, and there's a lot of stream out there, so it's a good opportunity to kind of spread out, check some different areas out. You know, if you go to the lower reaches, it's a little bit larger stream if you like that kind of experience, and up toward the headwaters, a smaller stream if you prefer that kind of experience.
Navi, would the average person know whether they had a Bonneville or a Bear River?
No. In fact, unfortunately, we got a lot of people who don't know the difference between a brown and a cutthroat. But, and I'm serious. I got these guys with cutthroats on their stringer. I'm like, oh, you know, why are you killing that? He goes, it's a beautiful brown. I go, that is a cutthroat. That baby should have been left alone.
Yeah. But if you're going to play this game of the Utah Cutthroat Slam, you really need to be able to identify those, don't you, Randy?
You know, you actually kind of luck out because for the most part of our streams, it's set by what's naturally there, I guess, if that makes sense. So it's really determined not by you having to identify the specific subspecies of cutthroat that you have, but just knowing where you're fishing. And if you go to the Cutthroat Slam webpage, so it's utahcutthroatslam.org, there's some nice maps on there, and they can tell you by kind of the stream you're at, the type of cutthroat that you're catching.
There's no question, Tim. You can identify them, but it's so hard. And it's all about the freckles, you know, the speckled trout and how the speckles are. But my son and I, we love cuts. And even I will debate once in a while, oh, that's a Bear Lake. No, it's not. It's a Bonneville. Yeah. So it's difficult. It's very difficult.
Before we move on to the Logan, nobody knows this river. Well, maybe Randy does. But in my circle of friends, nobody knows this river, the Weber, better than Navi himself. So tell people how to fish that river, Navi.
Well, if you want to go to the cuts, we find them more pervasive in the lower stretches. But that, frankly, has a lot to do with the winter fishing that we do. Because they do migrate up out. You know, when they're spawning, they'll go up higher. So, yeah, I'm not thinking the Weber is the best place to get cuts, frankly. But they're definitely there, and we're trying to help them along, and hopefully they take hold. It's still predominantly a brown trout fishery. And, of course, Persimmon Williamsoni, which is the mountain whitefish, that's what you're going to find. And you're going to get some of these spring suckers. The Junes are out right now spawning as well. Cutthroats are there. And, of course, we definitely hand them with delicate hands because we want them to really take hold in the Weber. But I'm saying it's not the best cutthroat fishery yet.
Well, let's try the Logan River, according to Randy. Another spot where you'll find Bear River cutthroat, but also some browns and some whitefish. Tell us about that one, Randy.
Yeah, definitely. Logan's another cutthroat stream. You know, like you mentioned, it's got browns, it's got other stuff, and certainly you'll catch a bunch of those. But there's a nice population of cutthroat there as well to be had in the Logan River.
Yeah, the Logan River, now you're talking cutthroat. I like fishing up higher, you know, over near China Wall, Red Banks area. They love the grasshoppers in late July. If you want to catch cuts, and by the way, beautiful cuts with such gorgeous stripes under their throat, that's the place. I think the Logan River, particularly up in the higher meadow regions.
Speaking of getting up high, Randy, you don't get much higher than the Uinta Mountains, and you've mapped out quite a few places where these Cutthroat Slam participants can find even the the Colorado Cut.
Yeah, the Uinta streams primarily are going to have Colorado River cutthroats. There's certainly other species up there as well. You know, there's a lot of brook trout, for example. So it kind of depends on the creek you're fishing. But we've been doing a lot to restore cutthroat populations in the Uintas. And really, you know, there's a number of creeks, East Fork, Black Fork, West Fork, Smith Fork, Gilbert Creek, Burnt Fork, North and South Forks of Sheep Creek and Sheep Creek Lake are all places which have pretty nice little cutthroat populations that, you know, we frequently send people up towards.
100% agree with that. I like the Burnt and the Smith. Let me tell you, cutthroats are everywhere there. I really hope you put them back. But once they spawn, they have one thing in mind, and that's eat. They got to get the fat stores on, so they're absolutely easy to catch. You could catch them with a flower petal in those regions of Uintas. But put them back. My advice is eat the brookies because there's plenty of those, and they're not in trouble. The cuts we're trying to help. But they're definitely beautiful, and that's a great place to fish. In the United States, I rank it in the top 10 places to catch a cutthroat, the Utah Uintas.
Well, and a regular part of our conversation every year about this time is, you know, when we finally get access and we get some snow that opens up those roads, is that it's a great place to take kids to fish, too.
You know, if you want to catch a cut, it depends a lot on what you throw. If you throw that Jake spinner lure, in my mind, it imitates a cutthroat fingerling, and yes, they're a little cannibalistic. So you throw that Jake's, you're going to get yourself a cut. That's almost a given.
Walk us through some tips, Randy, that were included in the press release or the newsletter that I got from Faith the other day. Walk us through some tips on going out and doing some fly fishing in these areas.
Yeah, you know, I think these tips are kind of old hat stuff for experienced fly anglers. But, you know, for somebody new, I think there are some good tips out there. You know, I think primarily what I like to tell people is just keep your eyes out. Look at what's around in the stream. You know, do you see insects buzzing coming out of the stream? That's probably a good opportunity for you to get some dry flies out, so the ones that float on the surface, and, you know, try to match what you see. If you don't see as much going on, it probably means the fish are feeding underwater. And so you probably want to maybe flip some rocks over and kind of observe what's going on and, you know, fish a wet fly in that kind of situation. Most of the time fish are feeding underwater, though. I think it's about 80% of the time they're feeding underwater. But I think it really pays for you to kind of keep your eyes out. Generally, fish cue into whatever is hatching at that time, and that's what they're going to really feed on. So it's really important that you try to match that if you want to have some good success catching fish on the fly.
I agree. You know, their biggest diet is that freshwater crustacean, that freshwater shrimp. That's what gives them that beautiful pink color. There's no question you're going to catch more fish fishing submersively. And you can use, because of the shallow nature of those streams in that region, a dry fly is a strike indicator. So once in a while, you're going to get a voracious fish coming up to the surface, but you can keep catching them because they're going to hit the dropper 4-1.
And this is why Navidomskis always likes to beat his chest about being skunk-free or skunk-proof by taking the classes that he talks about. In the time we've got left, Randy, walk us through how people get involved with the Utah Cutthroat Slam.
Yeah, if you want to get involved with the Utah Cutthroat Slam, you know, probably the best place to go get information is the webpage for the Cutthroat Slam. So that's going to be utahcutthroatslam.org. And what that's going to do is going to give you some information about how you register for the program. So it kind of takes you to our registration site. You pay a $20 registration fee, which, you know, enrolls you in the program. That registration fee is really great. What that does is it comes back to the Division of Wildlife, and we reinvest that into conserving cutthroat populations throughout the state. But beyond that, we've got four subspecies of cutthroat here in Utah. So we've got the Bear River cutthroat, the Bonneville cutthroat, the Colorado River cutthroat, and the Yellowstone cutthroat. All you have to do is catch one of each of those, which I'll admit is a bit of a challenge, but, you know, a lot of people do it, so it definitely can be done. But you get out and catch one of each of those, then we send you a coin and a certificate as a reward for your effort.
Well, and here's how well it's been working. $42,000 has been raised through this program to help restore or improve cutthroat trout habitat throughout Utah, so it's a great cause. Randy Oplinger, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks a bunch.
Stay with us. We'll have more of KSL Outdoors Radio just ahead.